All right, you guys, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. This entire month, we are honing in on individual chapters each Sunday from the book of Philippians. Pastor Josh ministered on Philippians chapter 1 last week, and he called me the week before, and he was like, "Hey, would you like to minister on Philippians chapter 2? And I was like, "Yes." And then I said, "Okay, what exactly do you want?" And he goes, "The entire chapter." And I was like, "All 30 verses? All right, okay. We got this. Me and Jesus got this." So we're going to have a good time this morning in Philippians chapter 2. It means a lot to me individually. And I'm excited. I'm personally excited to hear what the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart out of this chapter. Because I have had the best time the Holy Spirit teaching me this past week and a half, and it's just been beautiful. So today, as we press in, the Holy Spirit, He has an individual word just for you. And I know that. I know that. So let's get started. So in Philippians, here in chapter 2, I want us to begin just with a visual image of where this church was. You say, why? Because this is a real church with real people. So let's talk about the church of Philippi for a second. Because I think often we can get into the Word of God and forget that this is a real church with real people that had a community. The cool thing about Philippi, when I was studying this out, you all, they were famous for their abundant gold mines. They had springs of water within that area. There was a famous school of medicine there in Philippi, which is pretty neat to think about. They had a gymnasium. They had a gymnasium. They had a forum. Okay, like you look at this area, they had a library. Philippi had streets. So we can see where Philippi is located there, which would now be like modern northern day Greece, okay? So to give you kind of a perception of where Philippi is. But I want you to take a moment and think about the church there. Think about the people and what God was doing and how He was using Philippi in such a mighty way. And with that, you know, we always have, when we go on websites, the About Us page in this day and age. So I thought I would do a Church of Philippi About Us page. All right, let's see here. The Church of Philippi, first Christian church in Europe. That's pretty cool to think about. Founded during Paul's second missionary journey. I want to take a moment to talk about this. You see, Paul originally was going with Barnabas on his next missionary journey. And what took place was a point of division and contention. We find this in Acts chapter 15, actually, verses 36 through 41, where in verse 39, it specifically says, the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. What was this contention about? Well, there was division over John Mark. And Paul did not want to bring John Mark with him because John Mark bailed. So Paul's looking at this saying, hey, actually, I don't want to do this. So then what takes place is Barnabas and John Mark go their way. And then Paul meets up with Silas, and he goes his way. You say, why does that matter? Because in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to talk about contention, and we're going to talk about division. And I think it's extremely valuable to understand that Paul himself battled this within the ministry, within the church. So Paul takes Silas, he continues his second missionary journey on land. Barnabas and John Mark, they sail to Cyprus. And now, on this new course, we see the Holy Spirit actually forbids Paul to speak to the province of Asia, and then he receives this vision that there's a man in northern Greece who is asking Paul to help them. So what I love so much is that even in the middle of human error, God is still God. And He's going to take care of His people and His church. So God calls Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke to preach the gospel to Macedonia. And you guys, Paul and John Mark were actually reconciled. And you say, how do you know that? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, we see that Paul calls John Mark useful to the ministry. So I think it's valuable to note that even in his change of plans, he was a minister of reconciliation, and we can still see that reconciliation. So continuing on, the initial converts were Gentiles. Really quick, if you don't know, a Gentile is anyone who's not a Jew or an Israelite, just to understand what that is. Women were essential in the church of Philippi. You see Lydia, who was one of the first converts there, but then also in Philippians chapter 4, we see two other women in the ministry, Euodia and Syntyche, that they too had issues with contention and division. But we see three women in the church of Philippi that were essential to the church there, which is really cool to know. And they value generosity. The church of Philippi was a generous church. It was full of people. It was a strong, healthy, and generous church. But it was still a church that faced division and conflict. And Philippians chapter 2 flows from chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, where we read there last week with Pastor Josh, talking about external conflicts to the church. Now we're moving into chapter 2, where he's talking about internal conflicts and how we need to act with internal conflicts taking place within the church. And I thought, okay, why I love Philippians chapter 2, I wanted to put this personal note on what it means to me. I love Christ and his church. I love the church. Philippians 2 specifically, when I was 19 years old and believing, really believing God, I wasn't ready to get married yet by any way, shape, or form. But I started to believe God for my future husband. I was at age where I was thinking about it. And the Lord took me to Philippians chapter 2 in these first four verses of what I wanted my relationship to look like in marriage. I wanted one of unity and joy, where we were on the same page working together. In Philippians 2, we're going to talk about this today. I didn't want to have a marriage of contention or division. And I wanted to meet my husband and that he was a part of the church and we were going to serve God together and actually get along while doing it. Is this a marriage message today? It could be. It could also be a message for what you're believing God for in a relationship. It also could be a message for how you are getting along and relationally within the church. It could also be a message of healing past hurts. It could be a message of exhortation and encouragement for you serving in the church. It could be a message for relationships within your family, within your children. That's between you and the Holy Ghost this morning. But I will say that I'm saddened whenever conflict arises over our convictions. And I desire to see the church unified, growing in Christ's love, working as one. One spirit, one mind, and one accord, striving for faith in the gospel of people to know Jesus. That's my encouragement. So let's continue on here. Oh, Trailhead Church. This is a real church with real people. Let's think about our church for a moment. See where we're located at? Boop, right there on that yellow dot. Some of us live a little towards Greensboro. Some of us live a little towards Mebane. Some of us live somewhere in Saxbaugh Hall. Snow camp, any snow campers here? Man, praise God. Thank you for driving here today. Trailhead Church is a real church with real people in a real community, where God's doing great things. Let's talk about Trailhead. The Church of Trailhead, our About Us page. We're the first Trailhead church in Graham, North Carolina. Founded in 2008 by a group of awesome people. Yeah. Initial converts, Gentiles. Women are essential here. Praise God, thankful for that. We value God's word. Trailhead Church values God's word. You guys, we're a part of the church. And as we dive into this chapter, I pray that there's an encouragement in your spirit. for you being a part of what God's doing in the church today. So here we go. Let's jump in to Philippians. Oh, we've got Philippians 2 themes. Let's go through this. You guys, these are my notes where I'm like, I need to know all of these things. We're going there. Okay, Philippians 2 addresses unity through the internal workings of the love of Christ. You're going to lose your mind when you see all of these themes in just one chapter. So we're talking about unity through the internal workings of the love of Christ in the church, that only in Christ are real joy and unity possible. How many of us need Jesus? Yep, here we go. Two hands, couple feet. Division and conflicts threaten the joy that we have together in Christ. It's true. Christ is our example of humility. I'm so thankful for Jesus. If you ever have a moment that you don't know what to do, just look to Jesus. He's our example. This is who we're learning from. Then also, you shine as lights to the world. We'll talk about more of that today. Okay, I think now we're ready to get into here. Here we go. You guys, I've got quite a few words that we're going to walk through. If you know me, I like words. So we're going to have a fun time in these first four verses with words. And I want you to stick with me because I believe you're really going to enjoy it. So starting here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, I think that should go off, right, Josh? Yeah. If any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let's look at a few words here. We've got consolation in Christ, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit. Reminder, these were my verses that I was believing God for with my future husband. Affection and mercy. We're going to stop right there. This word consolation in Christ is the word encouragement, okay? All right? Encouragement in Christ, comfort and love. This word comfort comes from the Greek word paraklesis, which means strengthening, help to make one strong. All right? The word fellowship right here of the Spirit is the word koinonia in the Greek. It means a partnership, that you actually share a partnership in the Spirit. And then I love this definition. The word affection is gut-level compassion. And mercy is undeserved forgiveness. You say, how can I read this? Okay, it goes this way. Have you received? Have you received any encouragement in Christ? Have you received help, strength, comfort of love? Have you received a partnership of the Spirit? Have you received gut level compassion or affection and undeserved mercy? Have you received that in Christ Jesus through the church? If you have, then fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord, of one mind. Let's talk about these words for a second. You see, because what you receive is what you're going to give. This word like-minded is means of one attitude or affection. It's how you exercise your mind. Essentially, the way that you think, your attitudes will reflect that, right? It's your inner thoughts that become outward behaviors. This is where we recognize that we have the mind of Christ, that we're a part of one body. This same love, it's agape love, so it's divine love, what God prefers. And then one accord. I absolutely loved the Greek, the definition behind this. It means that you have the same identity in Christ. If you were to get in and look up all of the in him scriptures, it's a wonderful study, but it's who I am in Christ Jesus. That, guess what? We're all new creations in Christ. In one accord, we're all a part of the same body. And then of one mind, it's one and the same. And I begin to think that when Christ died for one, he died for all. So then whenever I look at this scripture and I think, God, what I have received is what I give. And Lord, I thank you that you have put me into a place of one body that we are hooked in with your mind to recognize that we're here to work together. You say, so what does that look like? Let's keep going. It's asking ourselves the question of, do you have a unity mindset? You see, because Paul is instructing in this time and day, knowing that the church of Philippi is clearly dealing with some division, and he's saying, hey, if you've received this, then I want you to fulfill my joy by having this accountability together, to have this unity where you can come in. And I said, okay, God, what does a unity mindset look like? That you're united in your pursuit of becoming like Christ. And that you're united. Oh, this is my favorite. Well, it's not my favorite. That one's my favorite, but okay, here we go. Right, you're united in virtue finding, not fault finding. If you grew up in the 80s, you do cursive with whatever else that you write. It's just, it's a blend. I'm united in my pursuit of becoming like Jesus. That I want to be a virtue finder, not a fault finder. Whew, what a mindset. If we started to look for people's virtues and not their faults. And encourage them in what they're good at. What does that look like? That's called being a filler of joy. Take a moment and examine your heart. Am I a virtue finder or am I a fault finder? Do I continually find fault with the church, with my family, with my husband, with my kids? Or am I looking for their virtues and how God created them? Do you have a unity mindset? Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own, for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Within this passage of scripture, there's one word that I really want us to highlight, and it's the word lowliness. I'll underline of mind. You say, why this word? So the definition of when you walk through this, lowliness is an inside-out virtue produced by seeing our life through the mercy of God's great love for us in Christ Jesus. Lowliness, an inside-out virtue that is produced by seeing our life, you see your life through the mercy of God's great love in Christ Jesus. Simply put, I need Jesus. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. This is recognizing that I need Jesus. And in needing Jesus, he says, let us esteem others better than himself. Let's look out not only for your own interests, but also the interest of others. You guys, this right here is called a higher way of living. That it's not about you or what you want. It's not about your ideas. It's not about your plan or... But it's the fact that we all need a Savior. That's a game changer in how we see the church today. So what does that look like? That's called there's joy in serving the Lord together. When it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about us and how we serve God together. And I said, okay, God, so what does that look like in my own life of serving the Lord together? And it looks like this. Believing
the best?
I've struggled with that. I'll be the first to admit it. Stop keeping tally marks. What does that mean? This is right out of 1 Corinthians 13, by the way. That you have in your mind a chalkboard, that every time that person does something, you go over to that chalkboard and you pick up your piece of chalk and you add another check to their name of how they've done you wrong. And then, examine your heart and motives first. So there's joy in serving the Lord together, but that means in this unity mindset, I've got to get in and say, I am going to believe the best in you. I'm going to stop keeping these tally marks, pick up that eraser, Holy Ghost, erase that out of my mind so that I can move forward. And actually, I probably should begin with me first. Let me examine my heart and my motives. Can you imagine the church? You guys, division and conflict is out to tear you out of this congregation, to cause chaos and confusion in your home. This is serious business. This morning during worship, I had this moment where I was like, God, thank you for helping me grow in a unity mindset with Josh. Woo! It's a game changer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me and working in my life because I need you. Then we move into Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, verses 5 through 11, which we'll touch on 6 and 11 here in a second, but this is actually called a hymn of the early church. And you say, why do you just have this one verse up? Because we've got some cross-referencing to do. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, let this mind, let's just let that soak in to our mind. You have the mind of Christ. God created your brain. Anyone need that reminder this morning? Okay, I need that reminder every day. Just me? I don't know. All right, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. This cross references with these two verses. Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You say, why do I need to know this? Because in having the mind of Christ and having this unity mindset, we need to learn from Jesus. He's our example. This is who we're learning. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I am learning from him. You say, yeah, but how I can't learn? This is just who I am. Okay. Let's cross-reference again to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. That then takes us to this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He is not his. So I am able to learn from Jesus. I'm able to live like Jesus. How? Because the same Spirit of God lives in me. It's time to stop the excuse to say, well, I didn't know. The Spirit of God lives in you through Christ Jesus. If you have declared that Jesus is Lord over your life, you have a resurrection power living on the inside of you. The same Spirit of God, I can learn and live like Jesus because the Spirit of God in Christ lives in me. Do you want to stay stuck in your relationships? No. Then it's time to have a revelation that I can learn like Jesus and grow. I don't have to be this way in conflict or division or be a grumbler or a complainer for the rest of my life. I can have a holy wake-up call. I was praying this morning before service, and I just said, Lord, I thank you for a holy fire, Lord, going through this entire congregation. Just burn out what doesn't belong, Holy Spirit, so that we can live pure and holy lives before you, God. So then this takes me to this. Do you have a growth mindset? I said that you have a mind that's been given by God. So what does a growth mindset look like? Well, it's a choice. It's a choice to what? Let's see here. You all, you could fill this page up in your notes. You say, how can you say that? To put on your helmet of salvation every day, right? Helmet of salvation. It's a choice to renew your mind to God's word. It's a choice to pray for those who've hurt you. Do you see what I mean? You could fill this entire page up. I love writing these things out. It's a choice. A growth mindset is choosing to learn from the Lord. It's choosing to say, God, I want to grow in you. It's choosing to pick up your Bible and to read Proverbs 1 tomorrow, right? It's choosing to say, God, that person really hurt me. Holy Spirit, help me to pray for them. Okay, Lord, you want me to get in and talk about this hurt and work through it? Okay, God, I'm going to need your help with this. You guys, it's a choice to grow as a church. It's a choice to have a growth. It's a choice to have a growth mindset in every relationship in our life. We have made a decision, Joshua and I, that we're going to never stop growing in our love for one another, our love for Jesus, and our love for this church. And our love, I mean, my kids are kind of lumped in with that, but have you made a choice? They were like, they're in our unit, right? Like that. Okay. Have you made a choice to grow? Yes? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Let's get into Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11 here. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled. I want you to hold on to the word humbled. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the very essence of who Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus chose to not cling to his privileges of deity. He emptied himself, willingly taking on the form of a servant. He came to us as a baby in a lowly manger, a humble servant, obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Jesus suffered for our sake. And because he humbled himself, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Because he humbled himself, God exalted him, and he highly exalted him and his whole person in what? In honor and power. How an honor that Jesus has the name above every name, in power that every knee must bow to Christ. You guys, this is complete submission. That as a church, we are fully submitted to you, Lord Jesus. You see, Paul, he has no doubt who his Lord is. And it's not Caesar. He knew that Jesus was Lord over all. Do you know that Jesus is Lord over all? Do you recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world? every man, woman, boy, and girl, that we all need a Savior. You guys, this is a part of that growth mindset. Jesus is Lord over the church. You say, why did Paul give this example? Paul gave this example of Jesus to the church of Philippi to equip them in their hardships. Isn't it nice to know that we have a Savior? To help them understand God's power and Christ's authority. Remember, the Spirit of God in Christ lives in you. And to promote unity through following Christ and his pattern of humility and obedience. If you've decided to be a follower of Christ, then who are we going to follow? This is not a trick question. Then we're here to follow Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I've written in my journal, God, you lead and I follow. Not Anna, you lead. And no, God, you lead and I follow. So we're continuing here with a growth mindset, moving on to Philippians 2, 12 through 13. I put this in the Amplified Classic Edition because I absolutely love these two scriptures in this. So Jesus, not only did he live, but he died to unite us to our Heavenly Father. And then as children of God, we're united together by the precious blood of Christ. So he's calling us to put away division and to what? To work out your own salvation. This is continuing to have a growth mindset. But what I love so much about this in the Amplified Classic Edition is, here we go. Work out your own salvation, it says to cultivate it, to bring it to full effect, to actively pursue spiritual maturity. That there's a responsibility here that you say using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. You say, whew, that seems like a lot to do. Well, I'm thankful that he doesn't stop here and that he continues on, because it's not in your strength, but it's in his that you're working your salvation out. You say, why do you love this set of scripture in the Amplified? Verse 13 has gotten me through some challenging times. He says, for it's not in your strength, but it's who? It's God. Who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. What does that look like? He is strengthening me, he is energizing me, and he is creating in me the longing and the ability to fulfill my purpose. For what? For his good pleasure. There was one year that in my personal time of growth, my continual meditation and prayer was, Lord, I thank you that I am growing in you and that my life is bringing you glory. And anytime you say, why were you praying that? Because I was struggling with this energy to continue doing what God had called me to do due to some conflict. Because conflict can zap your energy, right? Can drain you. So then I'm like, God, I thank you that it's your, God has all the grace. We're the ones that say, Lord, I need an abundance of grace today. So Lord, I'm drawing upon your grace and I thank you that you're at work in me, both to will and to work. God, you're strengthening me. You're energizing me. God, you're creating in me the longing and the ability to fulfill my purpose here at Trailhead Church for your good pleasure. Lord, I'm so thankful today. You see, this for me personally has been a prayer in my life because I need the Lord. When you cross-reference this, it takes you to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. In every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, how do you make this personal? Well, it looks like this. It looks... Let's go yellow.
that God is working in me.
God is working in me. Some of you need to meditate on that this morning. And your next meditation in your heart, it gives God pleasure to work in my life. Some of you, you've grown, you were raised with so much conflict and grumbling and complaining that you don't realize that God, it gives him good pleasure to work in you. He calls you a good work in Christ. You guys, this is who we are. The word working, whenever we study this out in the Greek, a really cool way that it described this that I loved, working is from one stage to the next. And it's like an electrical current energizing a wire, bringing it to a place where it shines out like a light bulb. I guess this is probably the best way that I can do this. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. I can draw things. Okay, let's do a plug right here. Oh, that's a big plug. That got kind of crazy. That's all right. Then we'll do a big outlet. So God is working. That's a desk lamp. God is working in me, stage by stage, that he's energizing me to what? He says to shine. But I have to stay, yeah, plugged in. There we go. Y'all are with me this morning. I've got to stay plugged in to what he's doing in my life. You say, how do you know? Well, let's keep reading in Philippians chapter 2. It's going to give us the answer here. In Philippians 2, 14 through 18, he says, do all things without complaining and disputing or grumbling and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine. This is a fact right here of what he's saying. This is just simply who you are. You shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Let's talk about this for a second. First of all, let's go ahead and make a decision that we know disputing and complaining is not a good work. There we go. Not a good work. And then I recognize this word harmless, the definition is the word pure. That's cool to know. Okay, pure. What's really cool, you guys remember the Israelites who like to grumble and complain? Paul's actually talking, this crooked and perverse generation, he's talking about them out of Exodus. Whoa, none of us want to be like that. That puts into perspective, doesn't it? And then he says to hold fast to the word of life. Why do we hold fast to the word of life? Because this is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Because whenever we hold fast to this word of life, we shine as the light of Christ in this church body. And then this word of life, it reveals and proposes that eternal life in Christ Jesus. That my life is brought to light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that as I hold fast to this, and I love that he says, so that I might rejoice in the day that I've not labored in vain, that you're paying attention to God's word, that you're living as a light to the church. Why? I want to rejoice with you that there's a goal to this race, that what you're doing here today is so that people can know Jesus and see Jesus. There's labor in the ministry to what? So that we have a healthy and whole and a strong church. There's a reason why you shine as a light in this world, because it's a dark world that needs the light of Christ. Amen. And that Trailhead Church is a part of what Jesus is doing on the earth today. If he continues on, he says, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's life was going to be a sacrifice for Christ either in life or in death. And he said, this is a source of joy to me, and I actually want you to have the same attitude. And I thought, Lord, what does this mean for me today? This is joy based on a life that is wholly committed to Christ. That no matter what I face, church, we're in this together. Do you have a growth mindset? Moving on, and I'm going to be real honest, this next set of verses and these next two people, we're going to talk about some church folk for a minute. This was such a beautiful point of growth for me this past week. I want you to pay attention as we read these last verses. We're going to go 19 through 24 and then 25 through 30 to some of these words. Words that show unity in the faith. We're going to talk about two church folk that Paul is ministering, telling us about. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus, as in Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. We know that Timothy was like-minded in attitude and affection, right? We've understood what like-minded means. In Romans 16, 12, Paul calls Timothy a fellow worker. I like through these scriptures, he calls Timothy that he's got proven character. He's a fellow son in the Lord. So we start to see some of these fellow church folk that Paul's working with. But then we also move on to Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is mentioned twice in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and chapter 4. And this blessed me so much because Timothy, you're like, all right, Timothy, I know. I don't know Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, he delivered the original manuscript of Philippians to the church of Philippi, but he was used from the church of Philippi as a messenger to give Paul his care package in his time of need when he was in prison in Rome. And in faithfully delivering this gift, he became so seriously ill that it was to the point of death. And you see a church, you see Philippi, who you know loves Epaphroditus and uses him as a messenger, but you see Paul, who calls out this man in such a way that it just blows your mind of his love for the church. I'm thankful he says that God had mercy on him. He brings this letter back to Philippi. So I want you to pay attention to some words here because it's going to bless you. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for your own distress because he had heard that he was sick. For indeed was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have had sorrow upon sorrow. That word, fellow worker, is a co-laborer. Fellow soldier means we're sharing in God's great commission. A messenger, okay, he delivered a package, but he's a part of a provider. The word brother means you're in the same family. One who ministered means that he's obedient. You say, why does all of this matter? Because to some, you may just look at Epaphroditus as, oh, he was a messenger who brought a care package. Paul calls him a fellow brother in the Lord, a fellow worker in the Lord, that he's a soldier. He's not just a messenger. He's a minister of the gospel. There is nothing little in the body of Christ. having joy in serving the Lord together and having that unity mindset and having that growth mindset is also recognizing that we're to have a fellow mindset. You say, what does this continue on? He says, therefore I sent him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Do you have a fellow mindset? And you say, what does a fellow mindset look like? A fellow mindset looks a lot like this, that we labor together. That we receive with gladness. That we value one another. Do you have a fellow mindset? When someone receives me with gladness on a Sunday morning at Trailhead Church, man, I've had the opportunity to co-labor, to work with so many of you all. There's such joy and unity in the church. I can't tell you, I felt such value within my relationships here at Trailhead Church. As I'm walking through Philippians 2 in this body, I can't help but to thank God that he placed me here and that there's unity and joy here and how God is using each of us and each of you have value here. And as we open our hearts, we recognize, Lord, I want to have a unity mindset. God, I want to have a growth mindset. Jesus, I want to learn from you. Lord, I want to have a fellow mindset that I'm in fellowship with my Father through the Son, that I am in fellowship with you. We're talking about the church, but it begins at home. Are you laboring together at home? Are you receiving with gladness at home? Are you valuing one another at home? This is every aspect of our lives. What a beautiful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for using Epaphroditus to take this letter back to the church of Philippi, a church who clearly loved him. But also, I love so much that Paul saw such great value in his life, that I'm able to look and recognize value in myself and in others. You say, well, what does this look like for me? You belong to Jesus. You belong to his church. God has a place for you in the body of Christ to be used for his glory. And every part matters. Why are we talking about division and conflict, complaining and grumbling? Because Satan uses it as a tool to unplug people from their source. And God wants to use each of us today. And if we're all in the same body and we all matter, when one person is hurt, we all hurt. We're virtue finders at Trailhead Church, not fault finders. I've asked them to sing a song. One of my favorite old school worship songs. And this is what I'm going to invite you to do in these last few moments. First, I'm going to extend an opportunity of salvation. I'm going to walk down here for prayer team that are available. Please come up front as well. If you don't know Jesus, that he's your Lord and Savior, if you've not confessed with your mouth or believed in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, and that you're saved, if you have not made that profession of faith and made Jesus Lord over your life, today is the day of salvation. It's the greatest gift of all. paid in full by the precious blood of Christ to free you from sin, shame, condemnation, for you to belong as a child of God. We want to pray with you this morning. But I want to invite you during this time of worship, I want you to examine your own heart, your own motives. I want you to have a conversation with the Lord of am I walking and operating from a place of unity and joy? In joy. Amen. Prayer team, come forward if you guys want to start singing.